Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, Pick 6 podcast moderator. He joins us, as he always does, on Mondays. Because I haven't spent a lot of time on it. Let's talk about, first, the Panthers' finally elimination loss at Tampa. At least they ran the ball. I think we tried to find some signs of progress. They ran the ball effectively. Can I hang my hat on that?
Sure, if you want. yeah, I mean, yeah, Tampa, dude, look, Tampa is one of the, I mean, and I think they're a little bit healthier this past week, but I mean, Tampa's one of the worst pass defenses in football right now because of just the injuries that they sustained. And yeah, if you're going to have a game where Bryce Young could sling it around.
Yeah, but they can't protect him. Happen, they proved that they can't protect him, so.
Right. Yeah, they do a worse job of protecting Bryce Young than Boo Corrigan does of protecting the ACC. Am I right?
it was not their best look. It was not the Atlantic Coast Conference best look.
Only NCC could find a way to get blamed.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Hey, real quick about the Wolfpack. By the committee's logic. If we had the 12-team playoff this year, state's in it, no?
Like the hottest, yeah. I mean,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Five in a row, the way they played? Yeah, they're in.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you were ranking, like, taking, like, current form and including that and, like, health of your roster, like, state would probably be the number one team in the ACC right now.
No, yeah, definitely ahead of Florida State.
Yeah, for sure. I knew there was no way I could not derail you there. But the Panthers are, you know, just not very good, and I think it's just you see it from every corner now, right? Like, I know Peter King wrote about it today. He hadn't written about it. He does his weekly column for NBC,
yeah.
Morning Earth or whatever. And then he broke it down. I mean, and I wrote about it last week. I've seen it. The Athletic's written about it. Everybody's written about it. I mean, it's pretty clear that it's widely acknowledged as a David Tepper problem. I've been saying this, we've been talking about this for months.
Yes.
And, each individual win is not David Tepper's fault, or each individual loss, excuse me, is not David Tepper's fault. But collectively, when you sort of build out whatever you build out, you don't have the patience to see things through, and you start to look at the list of coaches. I'm not saying Frank Reich is Jimmy Johnson or any of these Hall of Fame coaches, but there's plenty of coaches who have really poor records early on in their careers with a new team, with a young quarterback, and it takes time to turn things around. Now, I just think the problem is if you're hoping for a quick fix in the NFL, it's going to take more than, the quick fixes in the NFL that happen because of, massive, aggressive coaching moves are typically more along the lines of, when Jim Harbaugh took over the 49ers, that roster for San Francisco was in a really good spot. And, just to say Peter King's column one more time, I thought this is something I had missed previously, but when Carolina under Steve Wilkes last year, they were running the ball 61% of the time.
Yep.
And then they go out and it's like, well, you have this hot stretch. And this is why interim coaches are dangerous, man. And I mean, just like you can just get hot under an interim coach because everybody's sort of like, all right, like the season's lost. Like, let's just play a little loose, play a little free. Don't want to get fired. And, everybody, they're evaluating everybody's job. Want to make sure I don't get fired, And so you have these, you just have everybody going out there and playing a different type of football. Well, because of that stretch under Steve Wilkes, that basically allowed Carolina to convince itself David Tepper or whoever else is at the top, that they were a quarterback away from being a good team. And I think a lot of us fell for it to a degree, too.
Mm-mm.
Where it's like, all right, you got Bryce Young.
My hand is up as somebody who did not fall for it. Okay.
Let me put it this way. The Atlanta Falcons are leading this division at 6-6 right now. Tampa Bay, the team that Carolina just, could have beat.
Absolutely.
Just don't give up that one play. Don't give up that play to Mike Evans.
don't give up that. But even so, it's 21-18 late in the game. You have 3rd-and-1. And for some reason, when running the ball is working on 3rd-and-1, the priority has to be getting a new set of downs.
Yes.
There's no other priority there than getting a new set of downs. And
getting to where you have, you want to get to a spot where you have 4 plays to continue your trajectory towards the end zone to try to get a field to drag a touchdown to win or a field goal to tie. And they failed in that aspect. I just think I think the other thing too is like when you throw their quarterback away and it's like, all right, well, you've been pounding the ball like Donta Foreman and Chuba Hubbard and you're in this bad division, so you think it's all like the Carolina Panthers could be in the mix for this division.
Like,
they lost a couple close games. I'm not saying that they're not a good football team at all.
No, they should have beaten Atlanta to start the season.
But a lot of NFL teams stumble their way to 5 or 6 wins. And if Carolina had 3 wins right now, you'd be like, well, they stink, but they're in the race. You know?
We need any more proof than the Jets have won 4 times?
Right. And you had the Bears game, they could have won. You had the Colts. The Colts are 7-5, but you could have beaten the Colts at home in the Frank Reich revenge game. Could have beaten the Falcons. Could have beaten the – I mean, the ball bounce is funny. And I don't think it's not bouncing Carolina's way, but they haven't done the things they need to do to set themselves up to get the bounces.
No, look, there's a lot of things that are wrong about the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, everything flows down from the top. David Tepper has proven to be an impetuous, delusional owner who thinks his team is significantly further along than it really is. I do not have an emotional fight here, because I am not a Panthers fan. And sometimes it takes eyes from outside of that to say, you know what, and maybe I'm leaning too far the other way. I think the roster offensively is the worst in the National Football League. The Jets at least have a couple of playmakers and I think some better offensive line pieces who might not be healthy right now than the Panthers do when they're fully healthy. I'll take Garrett Wilson. I'll take Breece Hall. I'll take Vera Tucker. I think there are a few pieces on the Jets who are significantly better than anything the Panthers can put out there when they're completely healthy. But the Jets are horrific offensively, and they're poorly coached, I think. And I think those two things are true about the Carolina Panthers. They are horrific in terms of personnel, and also poorly coached, and the owner thinks that we can keep changing these things, rearranging the deck chairs, and somehow the ship's not going down, but the ship is going down again, and it's all because they have not ever said, you know what, we're pretty far away, and we have to somehow fix that, and they're not fixing it.
And one of those problems, too, you know, you talk about the 60-40 run pass split from last year, like the end of last year in the final, and Steve Wilks was stretched as interim coach. Well, you know what that made that offensive line look like? A good run blocking unit.
Yeah.
Like a unit that you could build behind, a unit you could put a young quarterback behind and be fine. The problem is when you drift back to quote unquote normal splits for the, like, NFL teams run, I think it averages like 40%. It's a 60-40 pass run split. So any quote unquote normal NFL offense is going to pass more than half the time. And when you take an offensive line that is very questionable in pass protection, but able to run block against, you know, bad run defenses, and you're able to sort of just, like, you're like, look, this team stinks. We don't have any quarterback play. We're just going to try to get downhill and run on teams and play great defense. That it's not a formula that is guaranteed success, because there's much more variation and year-to-year variance and all that. But when you change that split, and you're now asking these offensive linemen to pass protect 20%+ more of the time, especially if you're losing all the time, so you're having to throw more, And, you know, we saw it from Jump Street against the Jets in that first preseason game where it's like, this is not a unit. I think it's Ike Ekwonu's given up the fourth most pressures of any offensive line in football. Bradley Bozeman's like, great, that was the worst center according to PFF. I mean, there's a lot of Giants concerns along that offensive line relative to being able to pass protect.
And the truth is that the best way to protect a young quarterback is to give him.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
Great running game. And they never leave, you know, with a franchise whose motto is keep pounding. I didn't think that meant to the defense against your rookie quarterback, but I mean, apparently that's the way they looked at keep pounding Bryce Young into the ground. The investment that we traded up eight spots to get to number one for it has been so poorly constructed that this was very predictable, and David Tepper is the reason for it. I will not, in no way will I ever believe that it wasn't Tepper's urging that had them go from 9-1.
They hired a general manager. I've said this repeatedly. And like, Scott Fitterer is widely renowned as a trader. He loves to trade, but he comes from the John Schneider school of general managing or front office management, whatever you want to call it, and personnel, right? And that's a trade down philosophy.
Yep.
Like, you don't become Trader Scott or whatever the hell his name is. He's got some nickname involving trades. You can't become like a super aggressive trade guy by trading up all the time because you just run out of draft picks. Like, in order to be someone who's known as someone who loves to trade, you trade down. And you can see that across the board with his approach to the NFL draft with two major exceptions. One, last year when he went up, or 2 years ago, I guess, when he went up and traded a future third-round pick, like a top 100 pick, which at the time Carolina Panthers fans screamed at me for questioning, to go get Matt Corral, because there was a quarterback run of like these questionable mid-tier quarterbacks in that draft class. He panicked. He went and traded for Matt Corral, and it was very clear that David Tepper was like, we need a young quarterback. Go get me one. When Sam Howell was sitting there for the taking in the fifth round.
Right.
And then this past year, when he traded up, you know, he traded a ton of assets to the Bears, like way, 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 way early. Like, they hadn't even done the evaluations of the quarterbacks, and
correct,
he made that move.
Yep.
If anything, the move would have been you discuss the trade with the Bears, you let the Texans pay whatever they want to pay to go. Because if you believe, you're like, oh, well, there are three quarterbacks we like, so it doesn't really matter. It's like, then that's fine, but you need to let the Texans trade up one spot. And then go to, because David Tepper talked about that in his press conference. He's like, we're going to go to two, and, you know, we get straight. I think, how are you going to two exactly? The Texans were at two.
Right, yeah.
Like, at some point, they knew that the Texans were considering going. Clearly, like, I haven't even thought about it until right now, actually, but clearly that indicates that they've been told the Texans were trying to get to one with the Bears, and then the Bears would be willing to trade with the Panthers to let them come to two.
Yeah.
Right? I need to go back and parse that exact language the way he said, but I think that makes sense. And they didn't want to wait, so they paid the price that the Bears wanted for the number one overall pick to leapfrog the Texans. That's David Tepper being unable to say, to exercise any amount of patience. And you give up DJ Moore, who would have been a huge help to Bryce Young. You give up you know, future second-round picks, which would have been possible offensive linemen. And, you know, you give up probably the number one overall pick this year, which is,
yeah. Oh no, it's going to be the number one overall pick this year. Will Brinson is joining us here. Let me just ask you about two more games before we have to say goodbye. I thought it was interesting that San Francisco went into Philadelphia as the favorite, in spite of the fact that there was a two game gap in the records, and Philadelphia has managed to win tons of games against really good teams, including a win in Kansas City. So Philadelphia would have been justified to wear the disrespect banner, except, and I put, because we do top five, bottom five every week, I have been saying this for almost the entire season, San Francisco is the best team in the sport. And when Trent Williams is at left tackle and Deebo Samuel is on the field and they're healthy, I don't think there's anybody close to him. That doesn't mean they're going to win a Super Bowl. You can lose to anybody if you don't play well. But that's the best team. And boy, did they smack Philadelphia.
Yeah, remember, Deebo Samuel went on my buddy Adam Schein's XM radio show before the Super Bowl and said, after the NFC Championship game, it was like, we would have won by 30 points if we'd had a quarterback.
Right.
And I think he took that to heart, the way that he was playing, the way that he was running into the end zone. He makes a difference. Trent Williams is a massive difference maker. Yeah, Lane Johnson wasn't playing, right? Lane Johnson was, Fletcher Cox was out there. He was hurt. Lane Johnson, Fletcher Cox banged up, regardless, yeah. Whatever it is. Those two guys are, injuries matter in the NFL, and it's not always, I think in 2023, it's so easy to get caught up in skill position injuries because of, fantasy football and the nature of the beast, the red zone, you see touchdowns being scored. But like Trent Williams is maybe the most important non-quarterback in the NFL.
Yep.
He's more important than some quarterbacks. That's how valuable he is. He is an unbelievable run blocker. He is able to get the second level in Kyle Shanahan's scheme. He's physical. He's an incredible passer. He's just the best offensive lineman in football.
Yep.
And there's a reason why the Shanahans brought him into Washington and then made sure to get him in San Francisco, regardless of the cost. He makes a huge difference. And I agree with you. When that team is healthy, they're the best team in football. And I think the schedule kind of bears out where, if the Lions stay hot, they could steal it too. But it's a four-horse race for the number one seed in the NFC. Dallas is kind of right there now with the Eagles too, a little bit. And I think San Francisco would be my pick if I was selecting a team to grab that one spot. But you get the one spot. You get the one spot in either conference, and it's a massive, massive difference in terms of your chances of winning the Super Bowl. The analytics bear it out. Like, I think the Chiefs' loss yesterday dropped them from 47% down to 15% to to get the number one seed. And I don't know if this is a game you want to talk about, but then that dropped their Super Bowl odds from like 17% down to 9%, according to our sports line projection models.
Yep. That is the other game I wanted to get to. So let me just ask you this. It's perfect. You knew exactly where I was going. Shouts and congratulations to Green Bay for resurrecting their season while nobody was watching. They are right now in the mix for the final, one of the final two wild card spots.
We're currently
But we have four teams at 6-6 fighting for two spots. In the AFC, there are four teams at 7-5 fighting for three spots. Kansas City is 8-4, and I think it's fair to be worried if they really can beat good teams without good receivers. Now, I don't even know that I think Green Bay is a good team, and it was clear that Kansas City, without good receivers, they have great, maybe the best tight end in the sport this year and one of the best ever in Travis Kelce, but all they have, it seems, are tight end targets for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
They have nothing on the outside that scares anybody.
Yeah, and I mean, Kelce's the best. There's probably the greatest tight end of all time. Greatest receiver.
So who else gets stressed when it comes to looking for the perfect holiday gift? Maybe you need something for the girls' gift exchange this year, or your office bestie that you spill all the office tea with. Family, don't forget about those fur babies. They need a gift too. My friends over at Piper Lou, they got you covered, and I can spend hours on PiperLou.com. They've got the best gifts for this holiday season, like the 40-ounce personalized tumblers, or where's my Swifties at? How about a Swiftmas Christmas tea? Don't miss the most amazing holiday gifts for everyone. Visit PiperLou.com. That's Piper LOU.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Tight end all the time. Gronk with like a word, too, I think.
Right.
In terms
Absolutely.
Of blocking and red zone production. But, I mean, Kelce just a beast in modern tight ends. And I think he's definitely been up and down this year. You know, he's had some drops. He's had some questionable games. You thought with Taylor Swift in attendance, it would be, a big blow-up Kelce spot. Green Bay played great football, and Jordan Love is crazy. Anybody who watched him in college, I think it makes a little bit of sense, because he was you know, he was, and I talked with Ryan Wilson, our pal Ryan Wilson, about this on the podcast last night, but in college at Utah State, Jordan Love was inconsistent on a play-to-play basis and a week, you know, he's very streaky.
Yeah.
That's how he runs. And you're seeing that right now. He was very good out of the gates for the Packers, and then just had a really questionable stretch where, you know, Packers are losing a ton of games, the offense looks awful, being asked if Jordan Love, if they'll know by the end of the year if Jordan Love is the guy, like, the GM is being asked that. And then you get this stretch of three games where he's just been awesome. And he's got crazy upside with his legs, with his arm. You can see why, you know, if you're a Packers, you know, if you're the Packers, you believe you might have found your third straight franchise quarterback. To me, this game was more about the Packers. And, you know, I'm going to keep hitting this point home about the Chiefs over the next few weeks as we get to the playoffs. They're unlikely to get the one seed. Miami, they beat Miami and they've beaten Jacksonville, so they do have some tiebreakers there. But both those teams have easier schedules. The difference there with the Chiefs to me is, in the past, we've said, okay, if Kansas City can get to the postseason and the defense can get hot, they're a real problem for anybody. Well, what if the defense keeps playing as well as it has all year and they just need the offense to get hot? Like, that's kind of a scary thought. And I know you would obviously much, much, much rather prefer the AFC to come through Arrowhead Stadium, to have the bye week, you get the extra week of prep. I mean, everybody, of course, everyone wants to be the one seed. If they get it, everyone's in trouble. If they don't, I still think you have to worry about the fact that, like, what if Patrick Mahomes just gets scorching hot for a couple of weeks? Like, that's all it takes. And so I would be very, very hesitant to count out Kansas City yet. I know that the receivers haven't been good. Sky Moore looks like that may be a failed experiment. Rashee Rice has actually played really well lately. Didn't have a huge role on Sunday night. Marcus Valdes-Scantling is
no good. He's no good.
He got mauled in that play, but there was also holding by the Chiefs. The referees were terrible down the stretch.
Referees weren't bad down the stretch, but Kansas City with the best quarterback in the league looks awful offensively and have looked awful offensively for like the last month and a half. And I don't think that's fixable. So they're going to have to ride defense, and hopefully Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes will just tear it up. But I think
it's not a non-viable formula.
No, it's not non-viable, but it's a house of cards. It's going to come down at some point. Will Brinson, my friend.
The one thing I would say about that, though, did the Chiefs lose the Tyreek Hill trade? It's like, yeah, Tyreek Hill's awesome. He's killing it. They also won the Super Bowl.
They won the Super Bowl the year after the trade. So they.
I know.
People are not.
People are just like, well, be nice if the Chiefs are Tyreek Hill. But like, they're the defending Super Bowl champions.
Yeah. All right. You're the man. I appreciate your time, Will.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you later. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.